Around this time of the year, the three letters BCS are almost certain to prompt an argument. They stand for Bowl Championship Series, an idea that was supposed to meet demands for a college football playoff and preserve the traditional New Year's Day games. Every year, one of the major bowls, Fiesta, Orange, Rose, or Sugar, is designated as the national championship game where number one plays number two. One problem is that many people believe number three is the best team in the country, so the system is unlikely to produce an undisputed champion again. And critics charge that the BCS favors schools from major conferences. Just about everybody else is frozen out of both the championship game and the big money that comes when you play in the big bowls. Some say the increasingly bitter dispute will eventually push big-time college football to switch to a playoff system like smaller schools already use. But coaches and college administrators from the major schools claim that academics would suffer. They also prefer the pageantry and the tradition of the bowls. Later in the program, a new look at school milk. Here's a hint. Cardboard is out. But first, college football. We'll hear from the president of one of the big bowls, from Donna Shalala, the president of the University of Miami, and from a coach who thinks that a true playoff is the only answer. If you have questions, praise, or complaints about the BCS, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us to start is Liz Clark, a sports writer for The Washington Post. She's working on a series about the politics of college football and joins us from the studios at the newspaper. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Neil. Thank you.
This is not the first season that has provoked controversy, has it?
Oh, hardly. It's part and parcel of college football, and in some respects has been its friend. You know, as they say, any publicity is good publicity. But this year, the criticism really seems to have reached a new pitch, and there's plenty of unhappy teams and unhappy fans, and a pretty major news development earlier this month when the Associated Press insisted that its poll not be used for these purposes because, you know, mere association, you know, being an ingredient of the BCS had sort of tainted it so and kind of undermined its credibility. So the BCS has taken a lot of hits this year, many well-deserved, although in its primary job, which is setting that 1-2 matchup for the title, it really seemingly is delivering a fabulous game.
Mm-hmm. It should be a wonderful game, unless you're a fan of Auburn.
Exactly. Auburn is one of the many aggrieved parties this year. Auburn finished its season 12-0, can't possibly have done any better than that, won its conference championship, which is no easy feat, but still finished third in the BCS standings, which would take a day to explain. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of mind-numbing formula that changes every year, so it's very hard to keep up with. But basically, by you know, the judgment of various sports writers, coaches, and six computers, it finished third to Southern Cal in Oklahoma. All three had identical records, and obviously only two can play in one title game, and Auburn got the short end.
And you mentioned the coaches' poll. This has become another source of controversy. One of the coaches, Mack Brown at the University of Texas, openly lobbied for his team to move up in the polls. Lo and behold, they did, dropping the University of California at Berkeley down.
Yes, and that instance, I kind of think Cal and its fans have more reason to moan than Auburn. I mean, Auburn was victim of math. You know, three doesn't really go into two. But Cal really kind of had tough going the last week. Mack Brown, his team was fifth, and Cal had been fourth going into the last week of voting. Cal won its last game on the road, which was quite an impressive feat. Had a chance to really run up the score and kind of mock the opponent, but chose the route of sportsmanship and just won in a reasonable fashion. And after lobbying from Mack Brown, which is not really done in the BCS and college football, lo and behold, enough voters changed the relative ranking, several of the voters from Texas, so that Cal dropped to fifth, Texas moved up to fourth. It sounds like who cares between fourth and fifth, but actually that was the critical line of demarcation where the fourth place team got the final at-large bid for the Big Money Bowl, which is worth $14.5 million, and the fifth place finisher was shut out and sent to a bowl that pays roughly one-tenth that amount.
And since some of the coaches who may have been voting or switching their votes for Mack Brown in Texas may have been from his conference, they split the money that comes from that poll and from that bowl game, and therefore there is the slight taint of corruption in this.
There's that vested interest, certainly, and the conference that Texas is in has more coaches voting than the Pac-10, which Cal belongs to, for one. Mack Brown also has a brother who coaches and I believe has a vote. And the coaches do not make their votes public. Sports writers often do and are attacked for it roundly. but certainly the sports writer doesn't benefit financially, doesn't share in the spoils. But everybody in Texas's conference does. So those votes carry a lot of money with them.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. If you'd like to join us, the number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email TOTN at NPR.org. And let's begin with Jennifer, who's calling from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh, I'm the first caller. Wow.
Congratulations, Jennifer.
And my alma mater, the University of Utah, is the first non-BCS school to go to a BCS bowl game.
Indeed, and that's another cause for congratulations. And Liz Clark, this is comes after some considerable pressure, including pressure from Congress on the BCS system to say, look, places like the University of Utah went undefeated this year, too. How come they can't get to the Big Money Bowl?
Yeah, and I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Why does Utah have to play number 20 Pitt? Why didn't Cal want to play Utah or anybody higher ranked than Pitt? Were they, like, afraid they were going to lose to the mighty running Utes?
Liz Clark?
The fact, first of all, congratulations to Utah and all the Utes out there, you included, because it was a very historic achievement that Utah got the BCS bid in the first time it's ever happened for a school from a conference outside the six conferences that make the rules and have typically kept all the money. Pittsburgh, the mere fact that they're playing Pittsburgh is another very sore point. No one's really unhappy that Utah's in the game, but there is a lot of upset feeling over Pitt being in the game. They earned that berth by virtue of being the best team in a really lousy conference this year. But that lousy conference, which is the Big East, is well connected. It was a founder of the BCS, and therefore whoever wins its championship, no matter how unimpressively they do so, they're guaranteed one of the big money slots. And Pitt won that Big East championship after the conference had been kind of depleted of its real football powers, who defected to other conferences. Mm-hmm. So Utah deserves a big, big pat on the back, but sadly, should they win, as they're favored to do, I don't think they're going to get much credit because people deride Pitt so and really question whether they're deserving of that berth at all.
But that's and Jennifer, again, congratulations. Thanks very much for the call. But the guaranteed berth, for example, the Big East winner explains why, though Cal Berkeley was number five in the polls, it's not going to get its way into one of the big games.
Right, because its conference already had a guaranteed spot in that USC, which finished the season number one, locked that up as the number one team. But and they could have gotten that other at-large spot by finishing fourth, which they were just edged by Texas, now, kind of suspiciously so.
Suspiciously so. The major bowls, the Sun, Fiesta, Sugar, and Rose Bowls are all huge events. Their existence, of course, greatly predates the BCS. They draw millions of viewers and revelers each year. Mitch Durger is Chief Executive Officer of the Tournament of Roses, and he joins us now by phone from his office in Pasadena, California. I know you must be busy getting ready for your big event. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Happy to join you.
The Rose Bowl is a very storied tradition. It's been around, how long now?
Well, we played the first game in 1902, and then we took about a 13-year break before we decided to come back to football. And we came back in 1916, and we've been playing New Year's Day games ever since.
In your,
this will be our 91st game.
in your mind, what's the role of bowl games and college football?
Well, I think that there are two main roles for bowl games. The first of those is to help support the colleges and the student athletes, or whoever turns out to be the beneficiary of the money that we pay to the conferences and thus to the school. And I say that because some universities, like Notre Dame, don't apply their bowl money to their athletic program. It goes into the general scholarship fund.
And Notre Dame also does not belong to a conference, so
that's correct.
Any money they make, they keep it all.
That's right. So then the second reason, of course, for most all of the bowls is to provide a benefit to the community that hosts them. And so, you know, we're very pleased to be able to provide an economic input to the Pasadena and greater Los Angeles area.
For many years, the Rose Bowl matched the champion of the Pac-10 against the champion of the Big Ten Conference. That was it. That changed when the BCS system came in.
Yes. Yes and no. Let me explain. The Rose Bowl is actually unique among the bowl games in that we are a partnership between the Pac-10, the Big Ten, and the Tournament of Roses. So we're actually governed by three different parties. So every year, it always starts out in the default position of the Pac-10 and Big Ten champions coming.
Unless one of those conference champions is going to the national championship game, which may or may not be the Rose Bowl that year.
That's correct. And that's why I say the default position is that the Pac-10 and Big Ten champions come. The exception clause is then that if one is ranked number one or number two, we have agreed to release them to the national championship game.
And, of course, the brouhaha between Texas and Cal deprived you of Cal in the Rose Bowl, and you would have had a traditional Big Ten, Pac-10 matchup. But put that aside for a moment. Would you be upset if the system was changed again and the Rose Bowl was part of a playoff series?
Yeah, we're not enthusiastic about a playoff series.
Why not?
And the reason that we're not is that we believe that the big losers in a playoff are going to be the communities that host the bowl games. And the reason I say that is that all of us in the bowl business rely on some sort of regional or university affiliation for our ticket sales. And we're able to select the teams that come to us, and we're able to select teams that will be able to sell tickets. For example, this year we selected the University of Texas because we knew that they would bring a robust fan base with them to our game. If we were randomly assigned teams that had no interest in the area and didn't have good traveling reputations, and there are many of them around the country, then we would be sitting here playing in a quarter-full stadium. And it's only going to take a couple of years of quarter-full stadiums before the conferences realize that they could do better by playing the games in the home stadium of the highest-ranked team in the way that the NFL does. And we think that that's the way that they would go to increase their revenues. And who's left out in the cold are the 935 volunteers of the Tournament of Roses in the city of Pasadena, who've been supporting college football and universities and conferences for 102 years.
Well, that's exactly what we wanted to hear from you. Appreciate your phone call today, and again, thanks for the time.
Okay, happy to help.
Mitch Duerger, Chief Executive Officer of the Tournament of Roses, joined us by phone from his office in Pasadena, California. We're going to continue taking your calls and emails when we return from a break. Our guest is Liz Clark, a sports writer for The Washington Post. We're also going to be talking with Donna Shalala, President of the University of Miami, a perennial football power. She also argues in favor of the current system. Later in the program, we'll hear from Pat Hill, coach of the Fresno State Bulldogs, who feels a real playoff is the only way to be fair and settle this once and for all. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to participate. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about college football and the BCS system, whether it works or doesn't. Our guest is Liz Clark, who covers sports for the Washington Post. She's working on a series about the politics of college football for the newspaper and joins us from the Post studios here in Washington. If you'd like to join us, our phone number is 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Email is TOTN@NPR.org. And let's get another listener on the line. Bill joins us from Redding, California.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I just have several comments. I mean, I heard a commentary on your station the other day, and I think the gentleman said it all. You know, the system is asinine.
I think that was Frank DeFord, though it might have been somebody else. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, it just kind of fit it. You know, just kind of in reply to the last caller, you know, that what he said is everything that's wrong with the BCS system. It is so based on money and revenue that they totally exclude what it's all about. It's about competition, and it's about the players. It's about these kids working their way through high school, college, and making it to a bowl or a championship because they won, because they earned it, not because they're more popular or it's in Pasadena or, you know, a computer chose them. You know, and I just think it's sad, you know. And, you know, he talks about the stadiums being a quarter full. I don't see any lost revenue from March Madness. You know, I think, of course, the
basketball playoff in the spring. Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, they do it right, and, you know, it's the greatest thing in March. Mm-hmm. I know my family's glued to the TV as well as everybody I know, you know. And, you know, I just think that the bowl system would be served much better to take the money out of it a little bit, and focus back on the athletes and the kids that earn it.
Well, Liz Clark, how much obligation does big-time college football feel to people like the Tournament of Roses, who, as Mitch Duerger says, they've been supporting college football for 100 years?
I think big-time college football is extremely loyal to the bowl system, particularly the four BCS bowls, you know, with the history and prestige. That is an unbelievably powerful lobby that politically, you know, holds all the cards, because an unspoken or unrepresented person in our conversation here are the broadcast partners that pay the bills. And, you know, and they really want to show the Rose Bowl, and they want to show the traditional teams. What's new in college football is this is an era of parity with scholarship limitations. Not all of the great players go to the same 8 or 10 schools that they used to go to in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And schools like Louisville, Utah, Boise State can have absolutely fabulous seasons, really inspiring, entertaining seasons with great offenses, great fun to watch. But because of the way the rules are stacked, they don't qualify for a major bowl. So there are enormous problems with the BCS, conceivably on antitrust grounds, but also I would think for college presidents and trustees and anybody who cares about higher education, there are questions really about the fundamental fairness of what you believe something associated with higher education should stand for. It certainly is not fair when you have a set-aside designated spot for a team ranked 21st and shut out schools that are ranked 8th, 9th, and 10th. Now, these other schools play in bowls, but not the ones that the bright light is on and the big money goes to. And that disparity in the money kind of fuels this, you know, unhealthy situation of schools of haves and have-nots. Mm-hmm. And the fans just simply don't understand it and don't like it.
Bill, thanks for the call.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Joining us now is Donna Shalala, president of the University of Miami, whose Miami Hurricanes are among the perennial powers in big-time college football. She joins us by phone from her office in Miami, Florida. Thanks very much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.
Is the BCS unfair?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we could always go back to the old bowl system. I think the attempt of the BCS was to try to get closer to determining number one. I personally like the bowl games, and if we went back to the old bowl system, it wouldn't bother me at all.
That was when we had a mythical national champion.
A mythical national champion, but more importantly, it gave lots of attention to individual bowls. And for young student-athletes as opposed to the fans or the press, going to a bowl is a big thing, and they're not as focused on being number one or number two as everybody else is. I have a cousin who went to the Sugar Bowl in the late 50s, and he still talks about it.
Miami of Florida gets a winning team almost every year and has been a champion several times and is, as mentioned, a perennial power. Miami of Ohio gets a good team every once in a while. Would you feel the same way if you were the president of that school in Ohio?
I would. And this year, Miami is not going to a BCS Bowl. We're going to the Peach Bowl, and we're happy to be going there. We're going to have a very good time. And we look forward to playing Florida in the Peach Bowl.
Why shouldn't there be a playoff?
Well, the presidents aren't there yet. It's adding additional games. I'm not even sure I'm enthusiastic about what the ACC has committed to, and that is that we're going to have a conference championship. Adding another football game, particularly if it cuts into our exam schedule and our study period, is not something that we're very enthusiastic about. I'm, at this point, more concerned about graduation rates than I am about whether we can figure out a final way of determining who's number one.
Critics will point out that other divisions in college football managed to do all that, some without scholarships, and have a playoff system, and that, well, if you send a team to the basketball championships, they're on the road, for 4 or 5 weeks in the spring?
Well, I mean, there really is no comparison to hauling a football team halfway across the country in the middle of the exam period or near the end of the exam period. And and the kind of risk in terms of this is a tough physical game to our student athletes and the kinds of young people that we're recruiting. The bowl system has served us well. I'm a big supporter of the bowl system at the moment. If pushed too far, I just as soon at this point go back to the old bowl system in which the conferences played each other and forget about determining who's number one or who's number two, but I'm sure that my coach and my athletic director is not there. I like the bowls. I like the pageantry and the history of the bowls. And I think spreading out a bunch of championships across the country has served us well in the past. We're going to try to tweak the BCS. We'll see how it goes, but I'm not at the point where we're willing to declare that we're for a playoff system.
Well, you're going to have to tweak the BCS because the AP is pulling its poll out.
Well, that's right, and we're going to have to do some work on the BCS to see whether what we can do about that decision. And who knows? We're going to stick with the ACC and keep the conversation going with the presidents. All the presidents are talking about this and trying to figure out where's the best place for us to be for our universities, for our student athletes. If we wanted just to go for the money, then we should step up immediately and go for that playoff system. But if we actually believe in the traditions of the bowls and in spreading out the excitement across the country, then we should stick pretty close to what we have now and make sure that we have opportunities for other schools to get access to the BCS.
Let's get a caller involved. Chuck joins us on the line from Clemson, South Carolina.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Chuck.
Yes, it's my understanding that the BCS was going to expand soon and have a fifth BCS bowl game. I was kind of confused as to how exactly they're going to hold that, but are any conferences that do not currently receive that automatic bid for their champion, maybe like the Mountain West, which is where Utah is a member,
mm-hmm.
maybe one of those conferences will be brought in when the BCS expands to a fifth game, or maybe one of the weaker conferences like the Big East might even be kicked out. I don't know. I think both those ideas sound...
I don't think anyone's going to be taken out, but I think there's a good chance that with that fifth game, there'll be more opportunities for conferences that are not now represented in the BCS to come in.
That fifth game, though, is just going to be another. It's not going to wait after the first four bowls and then pick out number one and two then.
It's not.
No.
It's not. It's going to be another bowl.
Just another bowl.
Will it be held by one of the four current BCS bowls if they'd have two games?
I think they're talking about, yes. That's a possibility, yes, of rotating it, of having two games, which would make it financially even more attractive because once you have the infrastructure in place at a place like the Orange Bowl, for example, which I'm most familiar with at the moment, they could put on a second bowl game.
Okay.
But
well,
it would provide more access. And that was the point of the discussions that were held, to provide more access.
For schools who are not part of the BCS system.
For schools that are not part of it. And to get rid of the BCS label so that everyone has a chance at access to one of the big five bowls.
Let's get another caller in with us. And this is Greg. Greg's calling from Portland, Oregon. Hello, Greg.
Hi.
You're on the air.
All right?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Well, I wanted to comment on a playoff. And, you know, if Secretary Shalala takes umbrage about on what I'm about to say, too bad. There's only one solution to this. Frank DeFord is right. There's a playoff. All other sports have playoffs. This is the only division that doesn't. And I just don't accept the fact that exam schedules and distance will affect, say, a school like the University of Oregon any different than it does the University of Montana, which is in Division I AA, plays for the national championship almost every year because they're so good, and they travel huge distances through the month of December. New Hampshire was traveling thousands of miles to play football week after week. And the money that will be generated by a playoff, or I can't be sure about this, but March Madness, you have 64 teams start out at the beginning of the month, and if they're lucky, they're playing on the 1st of April. And the money, well, we don't even need to talk about it. It revolutionized, from a financial aspect, college basketball. And, you know, on the one hand, I know they're students, but on the other hand, you know, this is the entertainment business, and, you know, let's not forget that. And, you know, it's just wrong to not have teams like Boise State play for the national championship. The college football game is in tremendously good health because of the 85 scholarships. You're going to have Pat Hill on in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Fresno State, these schools can beat anybody, and they could win the national championship. And finally, I'll say to Donna Shalala, how would you feel if you played in the Peach Bowl every year and never had the chance to go to the Sugar Bowl or the Orange Bowl? I think your whole community would be feeling about this playoff possibility different. And then I'll finish with, you can change the name of the BCS, but, you know, there's an old saying about, you know, a pig and a sow's ear and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for letting me spout off.
All right, Greg. Thanks very much. Let's get
and
a response.
Done. Thanks.
Get Donna Shalala a chance to respond.
Well, I think Greg's entitled to his opinion. That's the conventional wisdom that he's expressing about going to a playoff. The fans very much would like a playoff, and I fully understand that. It's always going to be under review, but at this moment, we're just not there.
What do you mean by not there?
I mean, that's not where our thinking is. Our thinking is to strengthen and add a bowl and to strengthen what we have now and to make sure there's more access to these five bowls now for other teams.
Okay. We're speaking with Donna Shalala, the president of the University of Miami, and with Liz Clark, a sports writer for The Washington Post. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller in on the line. And this is Pete. Pete's calling from Key West in Florida.
Hi, this is Pete.
Yeah, go ahead, Pete. You're on the air.
A comment, and this goes to the director of the Rose Bowl. I know he's not on the line any longer, but he was asked, what is the benefit of that bowl game? And his response was twofold. He said, one, it provides monies to the schools that participate. And secondly, it provides monies to the community, in his case, Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really struck me with that is his answer was money. It had nothing to do with the student athletes that played throughout the country in Division I football and the opportunity to play for a national championship. And I think this goes back to what we've heard already many times in this program. It's all about money. And this is the only major college sport where we have to deal with this year after year. And we see in all the other lesser divisions in college football, they have a playoff system that works. It's all about money in Division I, and it's a very, very sad situation that the fans and the students and the student-athletes have to put up with every year.
We'll ask Donna Shalala for a response in a moment. But
if it was about money, then the University of Miami's position ought to be, let's go to a playoff game, because we certainly would be very competitive in that situation. But I think it really honestly is more than that. It's about tradition. It's about the role the conferences have played. It's about distributing an opportunity to be a winner. We happen to like the conference system. We grew up with the conference system. We like these. We like the tradition of the bowls. Our student athletes who graduated last year had played in all four of the big bowls, and we're very proud that they had won or played in all four of those bowls. And, you know, it's a different tradition, and it's a different way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask.
There's not just one way of doing it. And at the end of the day, you can't say it's just about money, because the people that would make the most money at this moment with a playoff game are not overly enthusiastic about going to a playoff.
Liz Clark, is that right?
I'd love to chime in. Thank you, Neil. I'm such an admirer of President Shalala, but I have to say on this point, I most agree with the caller. It is very much, from what I can see, about money. When presidents are asked to comment on the merits of a playoff, the answer or the first response is always to express concern for the time demands on student athletes, the encroachment of the academic calendar, and the physicality of the game. And it's hard to argue with those arguments, except for the fact that as we're speaking, Division I football is seeking permission to expand their regular season, to add a 12th game, which is entirely about money. They took a baby step toward that a few years ago by saying we want to play a 12th regular season game every year when there's an extra Saturday in the calendar. It really won't be a problem. So now they come and they want this a permanent fixture. And at a big school like Michigan, Ohio State, that can be $3 million a pop, an additional home game. And once that's built into your revenue, it's like your paycheck. You don't live without it easily. So if you made the philosophical point or reach the idea that a playoff is the most fair and just way to settle it, you could have a playoff if you were prepared to cut back to maybe a 10-game regular season. Once you go to 12 games, it's true, you can't possibly do it. So, and the whole question about money here, certainly there would be more money generated by a Division I-A football playoff. The difference is that would be administered or controlled by the NCAA, which would share that money far more equitably among Division I schools. What you have now is a system that generates maybe less money than a playoff, but 99% of that money, or maybe it's 95%, is controlled by six conferences.
Excuse me, go right ahead. Donna Shalala,
I just want to point out to
you you can't, because we're running out of time. Do you want to hang on for a couple of minutes?
No, I'm a big admirer of Liz's. her argument about the 12th game.
President Shalala, thank you very much. We'll be back with more after a short break. You're listening to the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Today we're talking about college football. Our guest is Liz Clark, a sports writer for The Washington Post. She's with us from the studio at The Post here in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to join us, the number is 800-989-8255, and our email address is totn@npr.org. And our apologies to Donna Shalala, who couldn't hear me there at the end of the last segment. We thank her for her time and joining us today from Miami. She, of course, is the president of the University of Miami. And Liz, I didn't mean to cut you off there at the end either. Had you finished making your points?
I did, and I feel so badly because I'm sure President Shalala had a rebuttal that I would have benefited from hearing, and your listeners would have too. So I'm sorry I rambled.
Let's leave it there.
We've
heard from the president of a major bowl. Now we turn to Pat Hill, the coach of the Fresno State Bulldogs, who would like to see college football switch to a playoff system. Coach Hill is with us by phone from his office in Fresno, California. Thanks very much for being with us. Congratulations on your victory in the MPC Computers Bowl, but tell us from your standpoint why the current system doesn't work very well.
Well, I just believe in a playoff because every other sport has one. I think that's pretty basic. I mean, you usually formulate a champion on the field, and right now the system that we have is a good system, I guess, because we've never had a playoff system in Division I football, but everybody else is doing it. I think it could be worked out, and I think then you could truly see a a team emerge as the best team. Is, you know, a lot of things change during the course of a season. And, you know, I think the best way to settle a championship is to have a playoff.
A playoff
Everybody
of
else does it.
Just the two best teams to emerge from the bowls, or eight-game playoff, what?
Well, I think if you got Division One football, so they call it Division One football, you got 10 leagues. Take the 10 league champions, six at large, and let it go.
Mm-hmm. And that would be a playoff system that would take how long to resolve?
4 weeks. 16 games is 4 weeks. You'd be done before Christmas. Just like Division One AA and Division Two and Division Three, and high schools do it. Everybody does it. Pro football does it. Everybody has a playoff except Division One football.
Fresno State is, not one of the great traditional football schools. How do you feel about, we had earlier on the president of the Tournament of Roses saying, hey, we've supported college football for 100 years. They wouldn't be there today if it wasn't for places like us.
Well, I don't know. I think it's just like anything. I think there's changes with, you know, when you call us a non-traditional football school. I mean, Florida State wasn't a traditional football school until about the 70s, and Virginia Tech in the 90s, and University of Miami back in the 80s, so... You know, there's been a lot of schools that have emerged lately, and, you know, as when you talk about long traditions, and like anything else, traditions are made to be changed at times. You know, there's never been a playoff system. There was never more than the four major bowls, and there was more bowls, and there's been a lot of changes through, you know, life's about changes. And like we tell kids all the time, tradition never graduates. Tradition keeps going on, and you just build on tradition.
Well, you're beginning to establish a tradition there at Fresno State, embarrassing some of the major college teams.
Well, I don't know if it's embarrassing.
Well, you're beating them.
It's a game. That's how you settle games, is on the field, and I think that's why playoffs are necessary.
Do you think the Bulldogs would have made it to a playoff system this year if,
no,
if it was in place?
No, not this year. We didn't win our conference. I mean, you got to win your conference. Boise State would have been the representative from our league, and I think they would have been a very good representative. We would not have made it this year.
Well, Pat Hill, thanks very much. And again, congratulations on your team's victory.
All right, we'll see you.
Pat Hill, coach of the Fresno State Bulldogs, and he joined us by phone from his office in Fresno, California. And we appreciate his time today, too. Let's get another listener on the line. And this is John. John's calling from Tallahassee in Florida.
Yes, how you doing?
All right.
I'm a Penn State fan, but I'm going to go to bat a little bit here for Auburn. But as just a true college fan, it's a little frustrating because here's Auburn, who's played such a difficult schedule compared to the other two teams. You could add the number of top 10 teams or 9-win teams of the other two teams together, and it wouldn't be as many as Auburn's played. They've clearly played the more difficult schedule. I think the computers have them ranked like 9th compared to the other two around the high 20s. So they're clearly the team that the other two ought to be playing. And last year, LSU had a difficult schedule, so they bumped them up. So I'm assuming something happened in the way they figure it. So this year it's not the same thing because they didn't do that with Auburn this year. But my question is, did that happen? Was there some kind of change made that where the BCS would not put the team with the tougher schedule up there? And then my comment is just, as a college fan, it's just a shame to see where you've got an opportunity. The other two teams playing more mediocre schedules, at least one of them could play the team that's proven itself, and you'd have a true champion. Mm-hmm. And I just was wondering if she could comment on why they did not do to Auburn this year what they did to LSU last year and bump them up and let the teams play the best team.
Okay. Liz Clark, was the system tweaked this year to reduce the importance of difficulty of schedule?
The system was tweaked. I don't believe that it had that effect, and we're skating on the periphery of my knowledge here. but, you know, I'm looking at the BCS polls, and here I've got Auburn ranked third by the voters, by the sports writers, third by the coaches, and third by the average of the computer polls. So I believe, you know, it was fairly unanimous that they were third. I'm not saying the caller doesn't have a point, because to roll undefeated through the SEC is awesome indeed. Mm-hmm. But the main change made this year is, I believe, it diminished margin of victory, although that still is reflected in the perception of a voter.
Well, why would they move LSU up last year and not do the same thing to Auburn this year?
Okay, help me about last year. I know that LSU
wasn't even in the top 10, and they ended up at the end of the year with the same record as the other two teams, and they just, at the very end of the year, they bumped them up so that they would play in the BCS Bowl. And what did they do? They just dominated Oklahoma because they played a tougher schedule.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they finished second in the BCS standings. And I wish I had that in front of me broken down that I could tell you where LSU made the surge, but I don't.
Last year it was the University of Southern California, one of this team's finalists who were complaining, hey, we go undefeated, what do we have to do? We beat everybody on the schedule.
Yes, last year Southern Cal was ranked top by all of the human elements and got killed by computers because of their relatively weaker schedule.
Well, Liz, as we know, because the AP has pulled its poll out, they're going to have to change things again. What's likely to be the situation next year?
Okay. As best I can tell, they'll still rely on the coaches' poll, but the coaches are unrelenting in keeping their ballot secret. They don't want to vote if they can't keep it secret. But so that will be one of the components. The computer rankings will remain a component, and that's currently the average of 6 computer rankings. And ideally, you'd want some sort of third leg to stand on. And the talk now centers around forming some sort of panel similar to the panel of experts, college administrators, who go behind closed doors and decide which 64, 65 teams get to be in the basketball tournament and how they're seeded. And admittedly, that will be a sort of thankless job for whoever agrees to serve on that. All of your callers' frustration and anger and confusion will be directed at these most likely men who will sit on that panel. So that's what it looks like it will be. Once again, very, you know, inscrutable, vulnerable to criticism and charges of favoritism, and sure to guarantee that material for the same program next year.
Well, that's the important
sadly.
Thing. Sadly. here's one final email. This from Jim in Pacifica, California. Regarding the BCS mess, I think there is no grand solution, and there should be no grand solution. Each year, we enjoy huddling to improve the BCS. Then we enjoy the season. Then we enjoy pointing out the impending injustice of the improvements we made. Then we enjoy the bowls, and then we enjoy finding people to blame for the BCS mess. Between seasons, we talk about the need for a grand solution. That is the quintessential American sport.
So. It does have a life of its own.
Liz Clark, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Neil.
Liz Clark.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Liz Clark is a sports writer for The Washington Post. She's working on a series about college football that will appear in the newspaper later this week. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.